Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You are tuned in to Table of Contents, and I'm your host, Liz V. Tonight, we have a very special guest on the line. We have Sunny Giovanni, who is the author of many, many books. And tonight we're going to get to know her and also get to know a little bit about the books that she already has published, her company. Sonny, you there?
Of course I'm here. Hey, everybody.
Going on?
Oh, nothing much now. It's the end of the day. It's time to relax.
I know that's right. It's been a long day at that.
Very long.
So I got you on the line. How about you introduce yourself to all our listeners?
Okay. Hey, everybody. I am Sonny Giovanni, and, of course, I am the author of many, many books. If you ever want a good read, just go to Amazon or Kindle and search Sonny Giovanni.
Yes, I couldn't even go in and list all the books you have because you have so many. But hopefully by the end of this call, yes, the grind is real. So how did you even get into writing and being an author?
Oh, man, that started a long time ago. I was one of those kids who really couldn't sit down, and my sister used to write poetry. And age of 8, my sister, she was babysitting me. She was 16 at the time. And she said, you know what, I don't know why you get so angry and so cranky, but you're going to do what I do, and you're going to write down how you feel, and you're going to be descriptive with it. And I didn't know what descriptive was. And she was like, describe how you feel. And at the end of the day, we're going to tell each other. But I was shy. Instead of putting myself in that situation and saying that it was me, I would say it's a friend or a girl named Chloe or something like that. And it just took off from there. I got addicted immediately.
That is what's up. But I know a lot of people use writing as a way to get away from reality or just get your feelings out without, you know, as another way to get your feelings out and let people know how you feel.
Right.
So do you consider writing a hobby or do you consider it a passion?
It depends on how I'm feeling at the time because sometimes I write more than one book at a time. So it'll start off as my passion and, oh, my God, I'm so in love with it and I can never live without it. And then when I hate it, I'm like, oh, this is just a hobby anyway. I can just throw this off to the side.
Oh, man. So what was your first book that you ever wrote?
My first book. What was the name of the book? I can't even think of the name, but it was a fan fiction for B2K. And I know some of the young listeners are like, who is B2K? Like, it was a famous
right.
boy band, like, back in the day. And it was, I was in the eighth grade. And they stole my spiral out of my class. Well, I left it, and they stole it, thought they had my diary, and it wasn't. It was a story, and it just passed around the whole eighth grade class. And then it came back to me, and a girl I didn't even know was like, oh, here's your spiral. Where's part two? Like, wait, what? You admit that you read my stuff? I can't think of it, but
wow.
I know it's very good.
Well, that right there is a big inspiration for somebody to read and you didn't even know they read it and to actually
right.
want more.
Right.
So after that experience, was you nervous that other people read it or did you feel, like, accomplished that somebody read it and actually wanted to read more?
I actually didn't have a choice but to be comfortable with it because after that, my best friends, she would take my spirals and she'd go to the library and she'd print them off. She'd copy them, staple them, and she'd make them pay to read my books. And then at the end of it all, she'd give me the money and be like, okay, now you know you're going to have to work on something else, right? So I really didn't have a choice.
Oh, I know. That's right. So you kind of had a low-key publisher at a young
right.
age.
Right.
So what decided to actually, for you to go ahead and have your work published?
It was, let's see, a lot of closed doors, me trying to get published. And it wasn't working out. I wasn't good enough. And I have a banner in a couple of my books that'll, you know, explain that whole scenario. I was not hood enough. I wasn't romantic enough. I wasn't vicious enough. It was just always something wrong. So my children's father made that decision for me and said, you know what, you do this often. You have two or three flash drives full of books that nobody has read. You need to publish on your own. And I did it.
Wow. So is that how your company?
It is.
That is what's up. So is it just you right now? You're just publishing your own work, or do you also have authors under you?
It's just me right now. I'm not ready to take on other authors and what they're looking for. I think that'll be very, like, a stressful thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a publisher, but just seeing, like, some of the stuff that other publishers go through, that is definitely a big task to take on hand.
Right. And I would now want an author like me because I'm very picky, and I was signed to a company, and I put that man through hell. Either my cover wasn't right or something was wrong with the edits. I could not, I can't do it.
Now, when you're trying to reach your readers and you're getting ready to release a new book, what do you think is more important? Do you think it's the cover? Do you think it's the synopsis, the title, or a combination of all of it?
I think it's a combination of both. As a matter of fact, that question was in my head. I was at Walmart, and I think it's a major setup how they do the books right there by the electronics. Like, okay, you want electronics, so you're going to have to buy a book. But I'm a very big Stephen King fan, and here lately to me, Stephen King has been falling off, but I saw his name big as heck across the top of the cover, and I said, oh, my God, Stephen's back. Like, I think that contributes to a reader buying your book, knowing that it's you and they know what you're about. But then the cover was just like a bloody book on it. And I was like, what the hell could this be about? So I had to open the book and read the synopsis on the sleeves. And I was just like, are you serious? I think I'm gonna buy this book. But then I saw the price. And I was like, no, Sir Stephen, not for $36.99. I'm sorry.
Ooh. Yeah. Good gracious. And I mean, I can honestly admit that I'm guilty of looking at a cover before I read the synopsis and being like, I don't know about that. That cover don't look like something I want to read. And then I read the synopsis and like, oh, this sounds dope. So I think that maybe a lot of readers might pass up on Goodreads just going off the cover. So I feel like you can't really just go off the cover all the time because the cover may not be eye-catching or it may not be something that looks like you want to read, but then you read it, you're like, oh, my God, that book was so good.
But, you know, something, I did my own personal experiment with the cover thing because when I first put up my very first book, my cover, you could not see my name on it at all. And the cover was not really eye-catching, but you could see the title. It didn't have any models on it. It didn't have a specific background. It's just like a heart on fire with wings on it, and it just said My First Love. And that book outsold any book that I have to date. And I'm just like, so what is it, though? What is it that y'all want? Is it the cover that you want? Is it the synopsis? Is it the author that you want? I don't know what it was. At all. That question is still in the air.
I think readers are just picky.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't please everybody.
Right.
But My First Love was actually the first book I read by you, and that book was so dope. Like, I loved that book. And
oh, thank
I didn't
you.
Even know. I didn't even know who you were at the time, but who actually put me on to that book was Chrissy.
Because
I was like, yo,
buddy.
I need a good book. Yes, that is my boo. So I was like, I really want a good book, but I didn't want what I was already reading. Like, I'm definitely a fan of urban fiction, but sometimes you just want a good love story.
Right.
And she was like, you need to go check out Sunny's book, My First Love. She was like, it was real good. So I got it. Girl, I done bought the first one, bought the whole series. Team Brandon all the way, by the way. But The book was just dope. But like you said, if you notice, if you're looking at those covers for those books, they're very, very simple.
Right.
And even, even the second one. Yeah. Actually, you know what? So for any listener that hasn't read any of your books, I would definitely, definitely suggest My First Love, the first one, and then also The Beginning. Those were excellent books. And I think that they were... I love
you know
them. Like,
I hated those
that's
books.
A book. Why? Which is crazy.
I
thought they were so good.
I hated those books because it started off as a pet project for a friend of mine who actually did lose her first love, and she was pregnant in high school. And every year we would have a memoriam for him, and it was my way of giving her back her love. And right after that, because I would always post on Tumblr and people would read for free or on my old Facebook page in my notes. And then people just started gravitating to the story and they're like, oh, give me a part two. And I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? It was only one book. And so I had to go and redo the ending. And I'm like, oh, surprise. He's not dead. Yay. Now can y'all leave me alone? I'm not going to give you a part two. And then I got part two, part three. And then they were like, come on, you got some more Brandon and Majesty in you. Like, no, I don't. I really hate these characters now. Thank you.
That is hilarious. Yeah, girl, when I read the knock on that he won't dead, I was ready to toss that that put across the room. But that was definitely good. So, out of all your published work, which one do you consider to be your baby or the one that you, that's the most dear to you?
Published. Let's see. Which one of y'all do I like? I would have to say Beast of the Cartel. Most definitely, hands down. That is my baby.
Definitely. And that book has how many parts to it?
Four. And the prequel, which would make it five, that doesn't drop until July.
Okay. So just for anybody who hasn't read it yet, just give a little snippet about what that series is about.
The Beast of the Cartel series originated from this guy who's a complete power freak, and he's so precise, but he feels like his life is empty. He's missing something. And enters Rumor through connection. Rumor is this abused housewife who just needs a job. They eventually fall in love, but it is a lot to go along with the territory of loving Zeus. And unfortunately, Rumor finds that out the hard way.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good already. That's my next one that I need to read. I haven't actually read that series yet.
Oh, you're going to love it.
It looks like...
You are going to love it.
Oh, I am sure. It looks like we have a caller that has a comment or a question, so we're going to take this caller real quick before we keep going with the interview. So, let's see. Caller 3499, you're on the air. What is your comment or question?
Hi, guys. This is author Kenny York. I just wanted to call in and say hello to Sunny Giovanni and to let you know that I think you are super fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, Kenny. Thanks for calling.
No problem.
And you already got some listeners on the line. So, going on, what are you currently? Oh, snap. I did not know that. A shout out to her for coming through and showing some love.
Yeah, she listens to every interview, listens to all my shows. I think my fiance has to be my biggest fan.
But that's how it's supposed to be.
Right.
That's definitely how it's supposed to be. So what are you currently working on? I know that you have your new book that was supposed to have dropped that we're still working
ago.
On that.
It
yes,
was
and everybody.
Oh, my God, my patience has completely run thin with Kindle because they have never done me like this. Well, actually, they have done me like this before with a book called Deuces and Trays. and I don't see what the problem is. But cocaine smoking mirrors 2, redemption. Hopefully that's on the way, y'all. Hopefully, let's keep praying and pushing and hoping that this is going to come out. Let's see. Currently, I'm working on 3 different projects at the same time. So I'm going to be switching gears a little bit, and I'm going to be crossing over into a different genre, which is lesbian romance. I have heard plenty of things from some of my friends who enjoy a good lesbian love story, and all of them end so sadly. So they're like, somebody needs to do something about it. And I'm like, okay, fine, I will. The name of the book is called 90 Days, as well as bringing some more African-American romance to the table with Some Girls Just Want a Hood Nigga. And I love that book. I'm starting to love it, at least. And that's pretty much it for me right now.
That kind of sounds good. So how do you work on so many projects at one time? Like, is that the way you always like to write? Or is it just a pen?
I think it's half and half. I love to keep busy when I'm working because I think if I stick to one story, then maybe I'm going to get, kind of bored or not feel as if I'm into it if I keep pushing on with that one. So I like to hop back and forth, and it also helps with writer's block. I rarely get writer's block. And it also depends on my mood and my music, because when I'm feeling for one story, I might not feel the same for the next.
So is this your first time stepping out of a different genre for your writing? Like, have you always just written urban fiction?
Oh, no. I'm always all over the place. If some people go through my catalog, they'll see, like, Morning Rogue and Savage, and those aren't urban or African-American romance. Savage is actually a lesbian paranormal sci-fi thriller. And then Morning Rogue is an African-American thriller, which I like to mix my genres. And I can't sit still, like, just sit in one genre. I'm all over the place. I think my imagination is just too big to be chained down to one specific genre.
That's what's up, though. Do you have a variety of work which goes out to a variety of different people?
Right.
So you don't always stay in one lane, so that's great.
Thank you.
How do you think the industry has changed since you first became an author?
Oh, my goodness. It has changed tremendously, and I'm going to try not to, like, lose my temper with this question because Let's cage it all in. Let's bring it in. When I was trying to get my foot in the door of this business, it was kind of hard because you needed to, your vocabulary, I'm going to say, needed to be at least subpar in order to be signed. And I had that down pat. You needed an actual storyline or well-developed characters. And it's not like that these days, especially when you look at the urban genre and street lit. It's kind of like all you have to do is know the right person who just dished out like $45 to claim an LLC. And, you know, all of a sudden we're publishers and I get to sign you and your mom and them too. And you could just write anything you want and I'll put it out. But back in the day, it wasn't like that. You had, like, Mary Collins and Mary Monroe. You had, it was a lot of people that I would read back then. And then I read the new authors, and it's a big gap. Whether characters are underdeveloped, is not a full storyline. Nothing comes full circle. Everybody's connected only because they're either trying to kill each other, everybody's having sex with each other, and somehow that seems acceptable. I really wish we could just go back to the days where you could pick up a good paperback and just relax and drift off into that world, and you would know what's going on.
I have to agree with you on that, and I've been reading for a long time. I started reading back when I was, like, in middle school, and like you said, the stories nowadays, not to say that nobody's putting out good stories because that's not true, but a lot of books don't have any substance nowadays. It's like they just throw in some characters, a story, everybody want to be a drug dealer, everybody's popping name brands, and that's fine. But like you said, the stories was different. Like I remember when I first got into reading urban fictions, I used to read stories like The Coldest One Ever or Be More Careful or authors like Shannon Holmes and all those kind of books, and it doesn't seem to be like that anymore. It's nowadays it's really, really hard to come across a good book that you read the book and you just like, man, that book I could read 3-4 times over and over again. I still have paperbacks to this day where I've reread stories versus now you read a story and it's like, oh, it's okay, but nowadays we just don't have any substance, I guess, if that's the right word.
Right.
And then so with that question,
it's a lot of authors that just like you said, they throw out name brands or whatever, but it's also up to some of the publishers as well, because recently I've learned that a lot of publishers are changing the guidelines for how they're going to publish your book. Like for publishers who only do e-books, they only want you to put out like 40,000 words. And if you think back, Liz, then you will see that a full novel is like 100,000 words and up. That's what we came up on, but now paperback then is I don't know what, and people are just throwing garbage out there.
That's true. So with that being said, what assets do you think you bring to the industry that makes you stand out from everybody else?
What do I bring to the table? I bring something serious, but something funny at the same time. You can pick up any one of my books, and it'll be in the middle of a heart-wrenching scene, and for some reason you end up laughing, and you don't know why you're laughing. I could bring a bit of a roller coaster ride instead of reading straight through, like, oh, I met him, we fell in love, we had sex, we had a couple of kids, he got some outside kids. It's not straight through. I bring those heart-stopping reactions, those, hold on, let me go back and reread this type of reactions. I make people literally want to throw their paper bag or their Kindle or phone or laptop, whatever, across the room. That's what I bring, and I love it about myself.
Definitely. And I love that you write books like that so I can keep reading them.
Thank you.
So where do you see yourself 5 years from now? What are some of your long-term goals?
Long-term goals. I am going back to college pretty soon, in the fall, actually. But I'm still going to be writing for the time being. So I'm going to go and I'm going to get my master's in nursing. And that way I'll always have something to fall back on. Not necessarily going to use it, but I have something to fall back on. As well as I'm going to be moving on to writing series for YouTube. I'm going to start casting and filming. I'm going to move on from not just the books, but give you something you can actually see and feel. And hopefully in 5 years, I'll be an accepted some authors by then so I can go ahead and finish building out this empire of mine.
And what is the name of your publishing company?
Lucid Legends.
Ooh, the name is different. How did you come up with that name?
Because I've always been told that I'm so descriptive. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, you never read a descriptive book before. Like, and there's something else that's changed in the industry. You don't get enough scene play. Like, you don't know where they are. You know what they got on from head to toe, but, you know, you don't know where they are, how they feel or whatever. So to name my company, it was something vivid. I consider myself a legend because now that I'm in here and I'm in this business, I don't really see anybody like me. I see people who are different like me, but to me, I am a legend, and I'm very vivid with what I do.
That is what's up. That name fits you definitely. So I'm going to bring up reviews because I love to ask authors, how do you take reviews, bad and good?
I love one-star reviews. I'm not even going to lie. Some people say they hate them. I love them. I love those one-star reviews that have points. Like, because sometimes as an author, we will read our books like 3 or 4 times and we won't catch something. But then you get an avid reader who is used to a certain flair, and they'll list everything that they see wrong with your book. I like that. Okay, help me to become better. Don't just, you know, kiss up to me and say, oh, Gio, you're great. I love this book. No, give me something you don't like so I can be better in case I'm going to write a part two. All of my 5 stars, I love them. I cherish them. I wear them like a badge. But those 1 stars that are just flat out like, not a good read, hated it, I cannot stand those. Or the 1-star reviews that just list everything in your book, like, I don't like it, and such and such said such and such and did whatever, whatever. I can't, that really grinds my gears. Like, why did you just tell everybody what's in my story? Now they won't buy it because you just told the storyline from beginning to end.
Yes, that is true, and I hate that, which is kind of why I don't even necessarily read reviews until I'm finished reading the book, because I don't want to know the story before I read it. That's the reason I want to read it. So as far as hearing from your readers, are you an author that likes to hear from your readers? Do you think that communicating with your readers is important?
Of course. Because if you don't communicate with your readers, then how are you going to know what they like and what they don't like? I mean, I've seen authors put out, I don't know, maybe 10 to 30 books in one series, and I'm just like, are you sure your readers said that that was okay? Because to me, if they don't like it, then I'm not going to put it out. And to be honest with you, Back on the Block Part 2, that has been on the back burner for a long time because a lot of my readers have said that Back on the Block was good by itself as a standalone.
Yes, I definitely think that is important. So a lot of books are being released, e-books, for that matter, for 99 cents. I'm a fan of 99 cent books because, of course, I like to save my books. But at the same time, I kind of feel like that I understand that you guys as authors need to make money for your talent. So how do you feel about 99 cent ebooks?
When I came into this business, I was selling 99 cent ebooks. Rarely I will do it now, but I've had plenty of my author friends or the heads of publishing companies to seek me out and say, girl, do you know you're selling yourself short? Like, this is a 65K book. The pages, 200 and something pages in here, and you're only selling it for 99 cents. That's suicidal. And I realized it because now it's like 99 cent books barely even get any play. I guess with the price now, it's supposed to be quality. So I kind of raised the price up on my books now. I think I have like 2 or 3 of them that I just released that are still 99 cents. But hey, if y'all like it, I love it.
And I mean, of course, as a reader, you like it because you save the money. But at the same time, if I know that a book is going to be a good book or that it's an author that always drops dope books, I have no problems paying $2.99, $3.99, $9.99, whatever. For a good book is a good book.
Right. Now, see, somebody, so, a couple of reviews, people are like, oh, it was only $1, but I could have kept that dollar. And I'd be like, really? Y'all mad? Because y'all spent $1 on a book and read it and you didn't like it. But like you said, it's only $1, so don't refund it.
Yeah, I don't understand how people refund books. I think that's terrible. Like, I've never, ever refunded a book that I bought, even if I just completely did not like the book. I mean, if I bought it, then you can't, you know what I'm saying? That's like buying a book out of the store and then taking it back.
Right. But I don't even think we can do that.
No, I don't think so. At least not to my knowledge. Me either. Along with being out here, being an author, and gaining readers that love you, I know that it's also an industry that gains haters. So, is there anyone that ever doubted you? You don't got to name them or anything, but have you had anybody doubt you, and did that motivate you?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, we're friends on Facebook, so, you know, you can go down my timeline and see, like, the motivational statuses I put up. And to me, it's like the more that I post the motivational statuses, it's the that's like my big middle finger just wailing at you. Like, I can't – you estimated me, and you said that this is what's going to happen, and you said that this is when I was going to drop out and when I was going to stop. But I've been in this business for a year and a half, and I have 21 books under my belt with no collaboration. What happened to me only stopping at one series, or, you know, what happened to me stopping at 10 books? And you said that I wouldn't be able to make it without you or without this person or without this promotion, and I did that. So thank you. Keep telling me I can't do it some more, and I'm going to show you that I can tenfold.
I know that's right. What advice would you have for somebody who's considering becoming a published author or maybe just even thinking about writing their first book?
If you're thinking about writing your first book, I suggest you do some research. And I always say that because I've done it, and I know a lot of authors do it, but there are a lot of books out here that get criticized like crazy because if you have never been to a certain state or city and you have some off-the-wall stuff in there, some reader is going to read that from that city and state and say, what the fuck are you talking about? That's not here. Who is that? What landmark is that? Do your research. I advise you. I don't care if you got to get a dictionary, thesaurus, all of that good stuff. Do your research. Make sure that this is something you really want to do. If you cannot take criticism, I advise you not get into this business. If you can't take long hours, long nights, early mornings, cramped fingers, hurting headache, well, you know, throbbing headache, excuse me, from looking at a computer screen for a while, I suggest you don't even do this. But other than that, go for what you know, ignore the negativity, and press on at it. I'll support you.
Amen. That's great advice. And Chrissy just hit me up, by the way. She told me to tell you, hey, she's listening.
Hey, Chrissy, boo, don't divorce me. I love you.
Now, is Sunny Giovanni a pen name?
Yes.
And how did you come up with it?
Oh, my goodness. So I was, I don't know if anybody remembers MySpace. Before Facebook, that was MySpace. I feel like I'm telling a remember when or back in my day type of story. MySpace had this game called Mafia Wars, and my kid's dad was on it, and he had been begging me to play with him because when you invited people, it would give you extra lives, and I forgot what he was trying to do. It's not even important. But his screen name was Tony Giovanni. And I said, okay, well, my name on Facebook, I'm sorry, on MySpace is Sonia. So I was Sonia Giovanni. And then we went over to Blog Talk Radio in 2008, which is when I got my very first Blog Talk Radio show. And I said, Sonia Giovanni is just tacky. Like, what am I going to call myself? And it was a play on words because ranting on Blog Talk is what I would do. I would get a lot of things off my chest, special topics and all. And I was like, okay, you are really a ray of sunshine. I was listening to the playback, and I told myself, you're really a ray of sunshine. I thought about it. Oh, shit, your name, it's Sunny, Sunny Giovanni. Thus, Sunny Giovanni was born.
Wow, you took it all the way back to MySpace. I think everybody had a MySpace page back in the day. I even remember that game, Mafia Wars.
And then Facebook had it, and I was like, I don't even want to play no more. It's not going to be the same as it was on MySpace.
Oh, man. So right now, is writing a full-time career, or do you have another job outside of writing?
Oh, no. This is my 9-to-5.
And what made you, did you always know that you wanted to be a writer?
Not always, because back then it was just something to do for fun. Even in my early 20s, and I can say that now because I just had a birthday and I'm 26 now, but it was only for fun. I would just do it for my friends and only write fan fiction until my best friend, she copied and pasted like my entire story and sent it off to Red Dog Publications, and that's how I got in the circuit. But when I started to self-publish, I realized I really didn't want to go back to my job because I was tired of it, and my children's father and myself made the decision that, all right, fine, this is going to be a full-time gig.
That is what's up. It's nothing like doing what you love to do versus having to go to a job every day just because you have to.
Right.
Now, would you suggest for other writers that they self-publish versus being signed to a publisher?
I really wouldn't know. I know that as an independent author, I make my own book covers. I do my own editing. I promote. And then, of course, I hire a promoter. But everything that I make in a month, it comes straight to me because I only owe me. But being with a publisher, it also you also have your perks there because sometimes you get more exposure being with a publisher, and you don't have to worry about that tiresome task of trying to figure out what your cover is going to look like and if it's good enough. That stress goes to somebody else. All you have to do when working with a publisher is choose your cover, write your book, send it off to edit, and move on to the next project. So it's kind of half and half for me.
I guess it all depends on how much responsibility you want to take.
Right.
In publishing your work. It may be for some people, but it may not be for others.
Right.
So I know you said you got several books out and also several books in the works. Tell people how they can reach out to you and get your work.
You can always find me on Amazon, Kindle, Goodreads. All you have to do is just put in Sunny Giovanni. It's a long name. I know. But just Google Sunny Giovanni if you don't want to do that. Or if you want to contact me or find my new releases, then just hit up www.sunnygiovanni.com and everything you need is right there in one place.
And do you just do e-books or do you also sell paperbacks as well?
We do e-bags, yeah.
I mean, e-books. Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Some of my books are in paperback, but at the moment I'm doing only e-books. I think up to, let's see, the first edition of Cocaine, Smoke, and Mirrors, that on down is all paperback, and then all the rest of my releases are on the ebook.
Well, before we go, we only have about a minute left. This show flew by. What do you want your listeners and your readers to know?
I want you to know that Sunny Giovanni might look menacing and mean, and I have a loud mouth, and I swear like a sailor, but I'm one of the most humble and dedicated people that you would ever get to know and meet, and I'm only one of the most talented authors you'll ever read.
Yes, and please don't be afraid to hit her up. She definitely always responds to inboxes. She always responds to her readers. And if you haven't checked out her books already, again, they're all available on Amazon.com. So make sure you check that out. And her new book, Cocaine, Smoke, and Mirrors Part 2, hopefully that will be dropping shortly. And those links will be posted on Facebook as well. So I want to thank you so much for coming in tonight and letting me interview you. And thank you to all our listeners who called in. I hope you learned something new today. And you have a great night.
Thank you.